the Go Gopher Podcast with Mike Grimm, episode number 117. I am Mike Grimm, voice of the Golden Gophers, and welcome back to the podcast. We have a great podcast for you this week, as one of the all-time great Golden Gopher football players, Ricky Foggy, joins me to talk about the opening of the new Arena Football League season. It includes the Minnesota Myth. Ricky Foggy's the head coach of the team. He'll tell us all about the process of starting the franchise up, gearing up for their season opener next weekend, all kinds of Gopher connections within the team and the league, what it's like to be the head coach, and stick around, we'll even go down memory lane a little bit with Ricky and the Gophers. Ricky Foggy, my guest this week, and you'll love it. Our Go Gopher podcast is presented by alumni-owned Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're a business founder planning to exit your business, start by contacting Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. Sunbelt serves more businesses up to $5 million in revenue than anyone, and True North M&A serves companies with revenues up to $150 million. You can get a confidential, no-cost, no-obligation business valuation started today. Make the most of your life's work. Visit sunbeltminnesota.com or tnma.com today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union is also one of our big sponsors on the Go Gopher podcast. You can go to affinityplus.org/gogophers for more information. That's affinityplus.org/gogophers. They also have an award-winning mobile app, so you can check that out as well. They are just wonderful sponsors, wonderful supporters of the Gophers, of our podcast, and a lot of great charitable work being done in the state of Minnesota. We're podcasting episode 117 from the Aquarius Home Services studio. We invite you to subscribe to the Go Gopher podcast. It's free to subscribe, and you can go back and listen to previous Go Gopher podcasts from previous weeks. Last episode, for example, we talked with the talented and retiring Frank Mazzocco, who gave us all kinds of great Gopher hockey stories and background on his path to Minnesota, where he became the legendary broadcaster he is with Gopher hockey. You can go back and have a listen. It's well worth it. This week, we're talking Gopher football and Minnesota Myth football from the Arena League with the legendary Ricky Foggy. He joins me next.
Beta Bay Boat Club offers a limited number of season-long memberships in our private club and half-day or full-day pontoon boat rentals on Lake Minnetonka. Members have the opportunity to play on luxurious pontoon boats as well as a variety of well-appointed deck boats, speed boats, and offshore boats. Our daily pontoon boats are deluxe, custom-built boats with many amenities and comfortable seating for up to 14 people. Beta Bay Boat Club, Country Club Boating, 24 years in business and voted Minnesota's best 3 years in a row. Please visit us at betabayboatclub.com for more information. We look forward to welcoming you this summer.
It's episode 117, the Go Gopher podcast, and man, I am really excited to bring on one of the living Gopher legends, Ricky Foggy, one of the all-time great Gopher football players who wasn't from here, from South Carolina, but has kind of made Minnesota home after his time in the Maroon and Gold, and it's always great to see him at different Gopher events, whether it's a golf outing here or a football game there, a tailgate party there. Ricky Foggy, great to see you, and welcome to the Go Gopher podcast.
Hey, appreciate it, Mike, and man, I want to say thanks for having me on.
Well, you have some exciting things going on, and hey, I'm going to ask you about some of your great Gopher memories, as I always do anytime I get a chance to have you on an interview, and we're going to get to that, so we'll invite those Gopher fans who love those times watching you throw and run, and with your partner in crime, Daryl Thompson, one of my and your great friends. We love DT, and we'll get to that, but you have some really fun things going on. I think most, you know, even casual fans are aware that there's a new Arena League in town. You'll be playing your home games at the Target Center called the Minnesota Myth. Arena football is back. You are the head coach. So first of all, how excited are you that, and the season's right around the corner, as we talk on this Friday, April 19th, you'll be starting a week from tomorrow on the road at Nashville.
Oh, I'm elated. I never imagined that we would bring Arena football back to Minneapolis and St. Paul, but we're fortunate enough that we are, and I was, you know, by the good gracious that I was able to be named the head coach. And so No, I'm thrilled. I'm looking forward to the start of our season.
So it's a little more than a year since the league kind of reestablished itself. Former Gopher Lee Hutton, a friend of yours, he kind of got this thing back and running. So that was, I think, officially back a year ago, February, that the franchise was announced. It got its name. I love it. The Minnesota Myth. Take me through the process then of how you got involved, how you were named the head coach, and then how this has all kind of worked in this buildup to go time now with the games just around the corner.
No, I think it was probably a year and a half or 2 years ago. Like you say, Lee is one of my buddies and former Gopher. He said that he wanted to bring the Arena League back into existence. And if you know Lee Hutton, he can make things happen. And so I told him if he did bring it out and if they had a team in Minnesota, you know, give me an opportunity to get an interview. And so I seen him last spring, and he said that they were back, and he would have a team here in Minnesota. And I think it was in the fall. Ashley Lee's wife, Miss Deanna Hutton, is the owner, and she emailed me and see if I would be interested in an interview. I almost jumped through the computer. I wanted to say yes right away. That was a no-brainer. So you know, I got to talk to her over Zoom. And I was fortunate enough that she actually likes me and offered me the job.
Well, everybody and likes so, you. That wasn't a surprise.
So we've been off and running since probably November, finding players, getting my coaching staff together. The thing about arena football is not big in numbers as in players. You know, we have 24-man roster, so I don't need a large coaching staff, which is good. And so I got that put together pretty quickly. We had an open tryout at the University of Minnesota in January. Got a couple guys signed for my open tryout. But for the most part, thank goodness for social media. You know, guys can inbox you their film, their stats. And so that really helped us a lot. And so I think the toughest part for us was to just sit down and critique these guys, go over their films, you know, talk to them, because we want to bring in, you know, not only great athletes, but we want to bring in the type of guys that's going to be good on and off the football field. So we've done that. We've finished up our second week of training camp right now. Tonight will be our last day of training camp. And so next week we'll be getting ready for those Nashville Cats that we'll be facing April 27th.
And, you know, we use the term Cats just in general. That is their nickname, right? They're the Nashville Cats, which I love.
It is. It's awesome. And so when I played as a player, seemed like dinosaur years ago, I actually played against Nashville. So it was a prominent franchise back then in the 90s. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get these franchises up and going again. And so I'm just happy to be a part of it. I appreciate Lee Hutton all the time for giving this opportunity, him and his wife. And so, you know, it's the first year. And so we just trying to get this thing going.
Yeah, no doubt. And I've always kind of liked the Arena League as well. How much have you called upon in this experience now in this? To recall that time that you mentioned you were in the Arena League, you played for the Minnesota Fighting Pike, which is one of my all-time favorite nicknames as well. How much have you called upon that experience to help your, you know, building your roster and assembling the right type of players for this time around as a coach?
Yeah, so, you know, what else better job for me to have, right? A football head coach. You know, I like I said, I played the game. I've coached it in the past, you know, Arena 1 and Arena 2. So with that experience, I definitely think that it helped me get the job. And so you have to know what style of players, because it's way different from the outdoor game. So we got a good eye for players, a good eye for talent. One of my defense coordinator is Jeff Lutz, who also played with us with the Pike. And Jeff probably had about 8 or 9 years of arena football experience also as a player. So as we put this team together, we worked together, me and Jeff, really closely. And I think we've done a good job with our roster.
And as you mentioned, it is a different game. It's obviously played indoors. It's a 50-yard field. I mean, we'll talk
maybe some of those things as we move on, just to help introduce some people maybe here in Minnesota that haven't seen it or maybe forgotten, you know, because there hasn't been a team here for a while. But I did want to ask you in evaluation, so these guys are sending you tape of 11-on-11 football, maybe high-level college, maybe, you know, Division II, whatever. How hard is it to look at film and then see, okay, well, he's really good on 11-on-11, but how's he going to translate to Arena League football?
And so that was one of our main focus. So the thing is, there's so many guys that's out there that wants an opportunity to play. And so that's why I think that bringing arena football back is a great idea, because not only does it give coaches an opportunity to continue to coach, like myself, it also gives players another avenue to play, another league to play in. And so we kind of drew from a lot of the indoor football leagues around, because yeah, there's a ton of them. And so if doing that, we don't have to teach the guys the indoor game. So we just have to let them adjust to our offensive system and our defensive system. We also got some guys from the outdoor 11-on-11, because you get two offensive specialists. One is usually your quarterback, and the other one's your wide receiver. And on defense, you also get two. And so you want to get the two best defensive backs that you can find, because it is very difficult to stop the offense in arena football. So and another thing is, the guys have to go both ways. Offensive linemen have to play defense. Wide receivers have to play D-back and vice versa. So you look for those more athletic, little slimmer, trimmer guys, I would say, because they're on the field a lot.
Yeah, and they got to be in good shape, right, because you're playing just about every down.
That's true, and it's a fast game.
I've always thought that Minnesotans should really embrace the indoor game. I mean, this is maybe silly on my part, but to me it almost reminds me a little of what I would call a hockeyized football. It's a little like hockey. It's indoors. You've got the dasher boards on the sideline. People are hip checking into that. It's a fast paced game like hockey. I mean, you might have a guy with 7 touchdown passes and a half, you know. And so some of these hockey fans should really, I think, embrace, you know, it's the state of hockey. It could be the state of arena football here in this state.
I couldn't agree more. I think the game is a great product. I think the people have to just come out and witness a game for themselves to see how exciting it is. It's a running clock. The clock only stops on the 1 minute. And it's a two and a half hour game. So you're not sitting there going to, you know, three and a half hour games. So you're in the arena, you're out with about 2.5 hours. So, but at the end of the day, it's a great product. We're going to put a great team on the football field. We're not making any promises and wins and losses, but we're going to promise we're going to play hard and we're going to do the best we can.
Yeah, and you're right. It's an entertaining game. So I know a lot of people know I grew up in Iowa, and when I was just starting in my radio career, I actually did one game. I didn't do play-by-play, but I was on the radio for one game, and it was at the Iowa Barnstormers played in Des Moines. Remember, Kurt Warner was throwing 100 mm-hmm. touchdown passes, I think, in a season. That kind of got him noticed, right? I mean, he was, this guy stocking groceries at Hy-Vee in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and the Barnstormers gave him a chance, and he's throwing all these touchdowns. But they did an exhibition down at the Iowa Basketball Arena, and I was actually on a broadcast. That had to be the early to mid-90s, somewhere 95 mm-hmm. probably. And then, and so I was hooked the second I saw it. I do agree, it's like NASCAR racing, too. You know, people talk about it, but until you really go see it in person, and I've really liked it. I'm excited. I'm definitely coming out to the Target Center to watch some of these games. I know one of your predecessors too, Mike Hohensee, right? Former Gopher. He had a long, didn't he have a long coaching career in the Arena League too?
He did. I actually had to battle against Mike when I was a player with the New Jersey Red Dogs. Yeah. Mike was coaching in Chicago. Great guy. I actually seen Mike last weekend at our Gopher reunion over at the university, and the guy haven't aged, man, so I got to keep working out, keep up with him.
Well, if there's two guys I'm putting money on it, still being able I won't say an advanced age, but older than college age, it's you two old guys could sling it still, I'm pretty sure, right?
I can. My arm is still fresh, but my legs are gone.
Legs. Well, I see you tweeting all these pictures. You're leading all these workout classes with all these people. I'm like, man, that dude. And Daryl's the same way. I mean, Daryl and you look like he could still suit up for PJ Fleck tomorrow if he needed a quarterback and a running back.
Looks are deceiving.
I like it. I like it. Well, the process. So now you've got the roster. Now, do you try to keep some wraps on your personnel, or is it public? Can you tell us, give us some hints? Are there some familiar faces some fans here locally might recognize? Who's the quarterback? Tell us about how this roster is unfolding for you.
Yeah, so we had a really competitive camp. I really didn't want the guys to tackle a lot. And so we just had to eyeball a lot of stuff because, you know, you don't want to, it's such a short season. You know, you don't want guys getting hurt in training camp and losing their opportunity to make the team. So, but we did enough hitting to where you can tell, you know, if a guy can, you know, tackle, or if a guy can block, if a guy can run good routes, and if a quarterback can make the important throws. So I think the one name, I do have a former Gopher at quarterback, Demery Croft. Demery played under Coach Kill before transferring to Tennessee State. And that's all I'm telling you about my football team. But I'm excited about Demery. He is a starter. And so I'm excited to watch him play. The guy is pretty athletic, and he throws a great ball. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, I remember Demery. He was Big Ten Freshman of the Week. He in a game against Michigan State where he rallied the Gophers back at home. And you're right. I'm telling you. And I didn't see you in person throw, so I can't. I mean, I saw you on film and in games, and I would watch those games you played in. But in person, I'm not sure I've ever seen a ball come out of a guy's hand as a spiral every time a guy throws it in my time here than Demery Croft. It's a spiral, a perfect spiral every time. I in fact, I mentioned that one time back when he was on the team and people were like, you're just blowing smoke. I'm like, I can't tell you if he's going to be good. I can't tell you any. All I can tell you is it's one of the most beautiful footballs I've ever seen come out of a guy's hand consistently.
Yeah, I mean, you see how windy it's been the last couple days?
Yeah.
Spiral every time.
Every time. It's crazy, right?
It's not affecting him. Yeah, he throws a great ball for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
reminds me of Warren Moon.
Right. Spiral all the time. Yeah. So you mentioned the season's somewhat short. It's a 10-game schedule. I think it's bang, 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 right? 10 straight weeks. It's a kind of a spring-summer league. You open next week on the road, the Nashville Cats. And then 5 home games, and I think 4 in May, 3 straight May Saturdays, if people want to come and watch the team. Tell us how that Target Center setup is going to look and how people can get tickets, Ricky.
Yeah, so actually, 2 days ago, Lee Hutton went down with the group who's doing the turf and the walls, the dashboards, and they actually laid it down, you know, to make sure everything's, you know, it's cut right. And actually laid the turf down, painted it, and it looks great. And so we're looking for that home base fan to give us that extra support. You can all definitely find MIF tickets on MinnesotaMIF.com, season tickets and also game tickets. But like I said, I want all of my former teammates to come down and check out this game, bring their family. And so it's fun. I already know Pete Nigerian, Anthony Burke, DT better get his butt down there. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to make it exciting. We're going to play hard and we're going to play fast.
Yeah, I saw some of those pictures. I think they were tweeted out. And I got to admit, when I saw that one with the helmet sitting on the turf and the big scoreboard up above at Target Center, which, you know, when they went through those renovations in 2017, the inside of that center with that big video screen and everything, it's a high end situation there. I my heart skipped a beat because I thought, man, that looks so cool. And so if people want to track some of those pictures down either on the webpage or Twitter, you can't help but get excited when you see that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, the hard part is going to be on me to get these guys ready to play. But they're young, they're hungry, because like I said, they've been looking for an opportunity to play professional football. And so that part, I don't really have to get on them about. They come to practice. They're ready to play. They're ready to go. We got a great venue at the Target Center. And we just got to have some fun and make sure our fans have a good time when they come.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So take me through what the week is like for, you know, the general typical Minnesota Myth player. I'm guessing this isn't necessarily like, this is my full-time job. I'm going to be a defensive lineman and an offensive lineman. Maybe they have other things going, or maybe in this 15 or 20-week stretch, it is the only thing they do. How often do you practice? Is there a lot of game film, meeting time? How does that all work, Ricky?
See, that's the beauty of arena football, right?
Yeah.
It's not complicated, right? So you're not seeing four and five different coverages. You're not seeing blitzing linebackers or blitzing DBs. There's only one linebacker that can blitz. There's only a couple coverages. And so everybody runs the same thing in arena football. You just got to have the better athletes. But football is football, right? It comes down to blocking and tackling. Right,
execution, your quarterback's right?
Yeah, execution. Your quarterback's got to be on point. And then on defense, if you can get your offense to kick a field goal, that's a win in arena football. That's a win for your defense. So a typical day, some of our guys who's in town that we signed do work during the day. Most of our guys that's out of town, they don't, and that's fine. But they do get up and move around and work out. We practice from 7 to 9 at North St. Paul High School, Go Polars. And so we meet at 6 for about 30 minutes to go over installing what we want to put in or what we want to correct from the previous day. But we just go out, warm up, do a little indie, 3-on-3, get some teamwork in. We'll do some special teams, do some conditioning, and then we're out of there because – we're trying to simulate the game speed, right? We don't want the guys standing around lallygagging.
Yeah.
And so we're constantly moving. And so it's a fast-paced game. So we're trying to get these guys up to speed.
Yeah, it sounds excellent. So I'm sure you've been asked this a lot by just people who, when you try to tell them, hey, I'm the head coach of an arena football league team, I think, the casual fan understands that they've watched it on TV. Maybe somebody's been to some games. Minnesota hasn't had a team in a while, so this is, I think, an awesome opportunity for people to come. But how do you explain it to people? So, go for podcast listeners. We're going to ask Ricky Foggy, what is the Arena Football League? What should we know about how the game is played? So what do you tell people?
No, I tell them it's totally different from the outdoor game. So in arena football, you get one receiver on offense that goes in high motion. And so he can, by the time he gets to the line of scrimmage, he's at full tilt, full
speed.
That,
like the CFL does, right? The receiver starts running forward before the snap.
Exactly like the CFL. And so most games average 50 to 60 points. Like you said, it's got the turf, it got the boards, and then you have two big nets in both end zones to where you have to kick a field goal probably between 8 to 10 feet, so it's pretty small. If the balls come off the net, it's live. It's 8-on-8 instead of 11-on-11 football. Like I said, out of that eight on each side of the ball, six of those guys got to turn around and play offense or turn around and play defense. So it's an Ironman sport is what we actually call it.
Yeah.
That's the biggest difference for arena football to regular football. Because I think only like prime time Deion played offense and defense in the NFL. So
yeah.
That's the biggest difference. And then just the speed of the game is way different. And then the fans are right on top of the players. And so if a football just so happened to go in the stands, the fans get to keep the football. In the NFL, you got to throw it back, right?
Yeah.
And so and also with the boards are out of bounds. So you can't like just step on the line and go out of bounds. And so sometimes when a player, offensive player, is getting close to those boards and defensive player comes over and hit him, he would knock him over the board. And the one thing about that, the fans do have to give the player back. We need him back.
They don't get to keep the receiver. Yeah, I like
it. They don't get to keep the receiver.
Well, that's part of the fun of it. I mean, guys, I mean, there's some hard-hitting collisions. As we all know, football can be a violent game, and there are some, like, if you're in it for that, there's going to be some of that in arena football.
Yeah, no question, because there's nowhere to run and hide. Right, you're closed in by the walls. So no, it is. It's faster. I think it's quicker, but I, you know, and also think because the guys offensively have to play offense and defense, they are in a little better shape than the outdoor guys because they have to go both ways. So it's definitely an intriguing game.
Yeah, for sure. Ricky Foggy with us here. It's episode 117. Let me mention real quick, want to talk about one of our great Gopher sponsors here on the Go Gopher podcast. Affinity Plus is your local credit union, proudly serving Minnesota since 1930. If you're a current Gopher student or a proud Gopher alum, you're eligible to join this financial. They want to build a meaningful banking relationship and put you first. You can meet with a local employee at any of their branches all across the state. There's one right near campus on University in Minneapolis. You can learn more and find other ways to connect. Here's the webpage, affinityplus.org/gogophers. That's affinityplus.org/gogophers. They have an award-winning mobile app. You can download that. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA, and they're doing a great job helping support Gopher Athletics. They also do a lot with Special Olympics Minnesota. And one of the interesting things, Ricky, I wanted to ask about you, because Affinity Plus and others now have also kind of dipped their toe in some of this NIL market, helping student athletes. When student athletes come on the podcast, for example, they're provided gift cards and different deals. And I wonder what your thoughts are when you see that, knowing, you know, how popular you were when you were here and what NIL opportunities you must be scratching your head saying, oh man, if only we had NIL when I was a Golden Gopher, because you really transcended the community. I mean, people loved Ricky Foggy when he was the starting quarterback for the Golden Gophers.
Yeah, you know, I just missed my mark. You know, if you sit there, you think about it long enough, you probably would bump your head up against the wall. But no, it was. I think the NIL is great. I think the athletes should be paid. You know, by the amount of time that they put into their sport, by the amount of money that the university make off of these kids. So I'm totally fine with that. But you know, I was just born 30 years too early. That's all I can say.
Well, I mean, if we really wanted to dive deep in the conversation, there's even more truth. It's not just simply NIL, right? I mean, let's face it, in today's day and age, you would have been much more readily accepted in the NFL for various reasons. Amongst those, even it wasn't that long ago, you're not that old, but there was that belief that, you know, an African-American quarterback just, you know, wasn't necessarily gonna make it. And now you look around the league at these guys, and I look at some of these guys, Lamar Jackson and others, and say, that's Ricky Foggy, right? I mean, that's Ricky Foggy.
See, you're doing it to me again, man. Mike, you're doing it to me again, right? No, it definitely was just a sign of the times, right? So it was mid-80s, and you know, the quarterbacks in the NFL, you look at like a John Elway or Dan Marino, and those guys was throwing the ball around. And you know, I was a dual threat quarterback, and they wasn't ready for a guy like me at that time. But you know, fortunate enough, there was the Canadian Football League that I had an opportunity to go play in, and I did for 10 years. But again, tell my parents, man, I was born too early.
They needed to hold off. 30 years, you'd have been, you know, NFL MVP. But you look around the league, you look at, you know, even, you know, CJ Stroud, and even it's not now just, you know, necessarily African-American quarterbacks. You look at Josh Allen, who's a big load, but mm-hmm. His legs are as big of a strength at times as, you know, and that just was, like you mentioned, I mean, Elway could run, but Marino wasn't going anywhere. You know, even Brady doesn't, you know, and now, this is a good part of the game. Off-schedule plays now in the NFL differentiate the wins and the losses, and there weren't many better guys in off-schedule plays than you.
Yeah, and what's happening now in the NFL, right, is you look at those D linemen, look at those linebackers. Those guys are going 4.5, 4.6 in the 40.
It's crazy, right?
And so I think the days of the pocket passer might be over.
For sure, because you're going to run for your life against those dude 300-pound guys running 4.5s. You know, good luck with that, chasing you down. It's why the quarterback position is the most maybe demanding position in team sports, probably, when you look across the board. I mean, pitcher in baseball, maybe, goaltender in hockey, maybe, but you know, physically, they're not staring down 300-pound guys and then trying to find a guy running down the sideline being guarded by a guy who's running a 4-2 as well. So one of the things, too, speaking of being born a little too early, when DT and I are standing on the sidelines at practice, particularly on those Fridays before the day before the game, he and I learned a lot about football standing next to DT during practice, and he oftentimes, almost every Friday, will mention, I can't believe how little hitting is going on at these practices, you know, because Daryl, you know, one, he carried the ball a lot, right, in games, mm-hmm. and then there was, you know, there was full contact practices, and, you know, his body, and I'm sure your body, and he's like, man, he goes, I'd love to be a player in today's day and age, because they want to preserve health, right, and, you know, the hits that they take, so I always get, I shouldn't laugh, it's not funny, but DT's always like, man, I wish I was playing now, because nobody's getting tackled at all in practice. He goes, Wednesdays, he said Wednesdays sucked when I was a player. I'd get hit 50 times in practice.
Yeah, that was old school, right? So everything's evolved, right? So now they're able to track these kids to see how active they are. They, you know, it's the whole concussion deal that they want to be safer with the players. You know, back then, none of that stuff was going on. You know, it's just old school football. Yeah, Coach Holtz would, at the end of practice, we would go goal line against our number one defense. And I'm like, where's my red jersey? Because you don't get tackled with the red jersey, you know. He was like, no, son, this is live. Let's go. And so I understand what DC is saying. Man, I didn't even catch a break, and I was the quarterback.
And you were the QB. And then the other thing, we walk through that $180 million athletes village, and it's just a beautiful place. And you see the hot tubs and the cold tubs and the training tables, and he shakes his head at that too. He's like, man, I'd have been in the hot tub all day.
Yeah, it's a different world. These kids got it made. But you know what? I wouldn't change a thing from playing with my guys. I played with at the University of Minnesota in the mid-'80s. And, you know, DT is one of those guys. I mean, we're brothers for life. Yeah. You know, we built a bond, and it's just special.
No question. So we mentioned off-schedule plays, and how now that is really a differentiator between winning and losing games sometimes at all levels. I want to play you this. First of all, this will be fun for you and me and our listeners, because we get to hear the late, great Ray Christensen, the College Football Hall of Famer. But I think you'll recognize this play. So let's listen, and then I want you to take me back to this day. So let's have a listen to the great Ray Christensen.
Faking the draw, back to pass is Foggy. Now looking, now he starts forward, runs to the 45, cuts to the 40-yard line, heading for the far sideline, east of the 30-yard line, the 25-yard line, the 20, and out of bounds at the 17-yard line. Woo-hoo! Stopping the clock with 20 seconds to play.
So do you remember that play?
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, you couldn't hear it. Maybe it wasn't playing down the line. Shucks. All right. Well, I wonder why that didn't feed down the line. I know it recorded here, so our listeners heard it. That was your off-schedule play up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where you dropped back to pass, looked to throw, and then scrambled into Chip Lowmiller field goal range. So what do you remember about that play?
First of all, I'm coming from the sideline, and Coach Gutekunst was asking me, did I want to throw or run? And I'm going, seriously? And so I go, give me an option, you know, give me a rollout where I have an option to throw or run. And so, you know, everybody on my team knew I wasn't going to throw the ball. And so I was rolling to my left, and I just seen this gaping hole to the right side. So I made a cut, and I went back to the right side. I seen a lot of open air. And all of a sudden, I seen a guy number 89, Mel Anderson, coming into the picture. And Mel made a great block that sprung me for about another 10 to 12 yards to get us into field goal range. And shoot, when Chip Lowmiller come running on the field, we knew it was money. Yeah. Chip was money.
Chip was money. Well, I'm disappointed you can't hear this, but our listeners will. So I'm going to play the great Ray Christensen's call on that Lowmiller field goal. 1986, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and here's how the game ended against number 2, Michigan.
Inside the right hash mark, bar a little bit. The ball is put down. The kick is up. It is good.
Good.
Time is out. The game is over. Minnesota has upset Michigan 20-17. And there is pandemonium on the field as the Gophers are going crazy and the band members coming out to join the craziness.
So Ray just said there's pandemonium. The band members are joining the pandemonium. What do you remember when you saw the ball cross through the uprights or between the uprights over the crossbar and a 20-17 win?
I could imagine being in a stadium with 101,000 people went totally silent. That's the thing that I remember the most. And then I was trying to find the jug, and then there was people wanting to pat me on the back. I couldn't get to the jug, and so it was crazy because nobody gave us a chance. Nobody. I think we went in as a 26 or 27 point underdog to the number two team in the nation.
Yeah.
But the thing was is that we was down there probably my freshman year, and I think they beat us by 31-17. But they had a hard time defending an option. And then on this day, our defense played lights out. And so it was just one of those team wins that, you know, you remember forever.
Yeah,
I would never forget that game.
And one of my favorite stories that has since come out, and she gets mad when I tell it, Mark Dusbabic, one of your teammates who's now on the PGA Golf Tour, has been a guest on this podcast and just a great, great dude. And we see him every now and then on TV if we're watching a golf tournament, and he comes on and makes a rules explanation. And his dad was at that game. And Teresa, who we all know, Teresa Bergs now, but Teresa Dusbabic, who I worked with at Gopher Radio, she was with us for a time there. Anyway, I forget the whole story, but somebody was being mean to her at the game, and Mr. Dusbabic put the dude on his butt. And so I love that post-game story. And Mark, I think, told the story on this podcast that he's all excited. You guys win, and he's waiting to give his family a hug. And the first thing anyone says is, "Dad decked a guy." It was great.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's a good story. It's a good story. But, I mentioned it when I started the podcast. You're from South Carolina. Lou Holtz talked you into coming to cold old Minnesota. You did have the time in the CFL. You had some Arena League time. But ultimately, you ended up settling back in cold old Minnesota. Take me through why. And first, I'm sure you've told this story a million times, but how did Lou Holtz talk you into coming to Minnesota, and why stay? What do you like about the state of Minnesota?
No, so I was going back and forth between East Carolina, North Carolina, and Minnesota. And so when I was going to my North Carolina recruiting visit, I still remember Coach Evans to this day. I told him, if you take me to a basketball game, let me meet Michael Jordan and get an autograph, I'm coming. So he did. He did those three things. So I go home and I tell my mom, "Hey, Mom, I'm going to Carolina." She go, "Okay, it's your choice." And then she said, so Coach Palermo, who was recruiting me at East Carolina, got the job in Minnesota. And so little did I know, Coach Palermo had been talking to my mom, recruiting her. And so she goes, "Hey, why don't you go to Minnesota on a recruiting visit?" I'm like, "I'm going to Carolina. I don't need to go to Minnesota." She goes, "No, just go and, get out of town. You really haven't been anywhere," because I'm the youngest of nine kids, so we couldn't afford to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So I did. I came on a recruiting visit. hung out with Melvin Anderson and Dwayne Dutrell. Those guys took me out to J.D. Hortz. Best food I ever had in my life.
Gotta get a buddy ball.
Got that right. And met with Coach O, had a good meeting, and so end up going back home. I told my mama, Minnesota's great, the city is beautiful, but I'm going where Michael Jordan is. I'm going to Carolina. Well, lo and behold, after the basketball season, Jordan declared to go to the NBA. And I was like, "I ain't going to Carolina. It's Mike not there. He's the only reason I'm going." And I go, "Mom, call that coach in Minnesota, see if they'll take me." And so she called Coach Palermo, and Coach Palermo said, "We would love to have him." And that's how I ended up coming to Minnesota.
Holy cow.
And so, yeah, and I had a great time. I mean, I had a great 4 years of football here and, you know, playing in the Metrodome in front of 65,000 people was just an awesome experience. And then, you know, like you said, I went off to play in the Canadian Football League, but for 10 years, but I would always come back to Minnesota in the off season. And then I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina for about 4 or 5 years when I was playing arena football. But I decided to come back because, like, seriously, there's nothing like the Twin Cities, right? You know, now I coached high school football for probably about 6 or 7 years. I had a great time doing that. But I always had a great feel for the state of Minnesota. I've been treated well here. I can't complain at all. So now I'm in my golfing phase. And so I think another thing is, too, is like, a lot of my teammates are still here that I'm close to. And so that played a big part. My kids live in Charlotte, and so I get to go down and see them because that's why they have airplanes.
Yep.
So I can fly home to South Carolina too in, you know, two and a half hours. So and I can always come back. But no, I love the state of Minnesota. It's been great for me. I have nothing to complain about. So I want everybody who's come to see me watch me play in the Metrodome, now you have to come and watch me coach at the Target Center.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Minnesota Myth, we're recording this Friday afternoon. So a week from tomorrow, that's April 27th, that's a road game now. They start at Nashville, and then the first home game at the Target Center, and this is the one, I mean, get to all of them, but May 5th, so 2 weeks from Saturday, May the 5th, Philadelphia, the soul of Philadelphia, come to town. And then it's three straight Saturday games in May, and then a road game, and then another game in May. It's a 10-game schedule. It goes fast. So get to the webpage, get those tickets, and let's fill that building up.
Yeah, if you want to see a great show in the spring and the summer, you know, it's short, it's exciting with tailgate, and you see some really exciting football. We got a really good team. Our roster is really well built, and we're raring to go.
Well, Ricky Foggy, I'm raring to go watch as well. It's going to be fun. The Minnesota Myth, the new Arena League here in Arena Football League team here in the Twin Cities. Target Center is the host venue, and good luck with it all. And you got practice to get to, so I'll let you go. I've kept you a little longer than I said anyway. So go coach those guys up, and can't wait for that first game.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me on, and go Myth.
Yes, sir. Go Myth. It's always fun to catch up with the great Ricky Foggy, episode 117. My thanks to the great Ricky Foggy for being my guest on this week's Go Gopher podcast and telling us all about the new Minnesota Myth and sharing all kinds of great memories with us here as well. I hope you enjoyed listening to our conversation as much as I enjoyed being a part of it. No doubt, Ricky never disappoints. Episode 117 is presented by Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're buying or selling a business, visit sunbeltminnesota.com or tnma.com today. We're also partnered with Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, a locally member-owned full-service financial invested in you. You can learn more at affinityplus.org/gogophers. That's affinityplus.org/gogophers. Again, I'd invite you to listen to past podcasts, and please be sure to subscribe to the Go Gopher podcast right now. Hit that subscribe button. It's free to do so and free to listen. And please share the link to the podcast with others so they can subscribe and listen as well. We'll talk again next week.